70 years ago, D-Day took place on the 6th of June. It was the start of the counterattack to free Europe from the German Nazi occupation. The night before, 2,200 bombers had pounded the German defences along the Normandy front. 21,500 paratroopers, 4,000 glider troops were dropped behind enemy lines. The naval fleet, or the flotilla of boats that took the troops across, there were 6,030 vessels, which included 1,213 Allied warships, with 156,000 troops landed on the Normandy beaches. 5 days later, by June the 11th, there were some 326,000 troops dropped along that front. 54,000 vehicles were landed, and 104,000 tons of supplies were on the beachhead there to support the troops. I must admit, when my father started doing his sermonette yesterday, I got a little bit worried. But actually, it was a really good introduction to my offering announcement about deception and who the author of deception is. And then Mr. Hancock this morning, thank you for your introduction to my offering announcement, talking about just study and it will work out, the comment was made. Mr. Henderson, your introduction to my offering announcement, I would like to thank you very much for that. Because it will become clear just how all of these are just coming together. One of the main things with the D-Day landings was Operation Fortitude. The whole purpose of Operation Fortitude was to make the Germans believe that the Normandy landings were a distraction and it was not the main front where the attack was happening. Operation Fortitude North was leading the Germans to believe that there was going to be an invasion force in Norway. Fortitude South, that there was going to be an invasion at Place de Calais, thus tying up the German troops and armoured divisions elsewhere and reducing the number of German troops and tanks and weaponry that were actually at the Normandy landing. In the planning of Operation Fortitude, there were a number of decoy infantry army units created out of thin air. Bases were created for troops that didn't exist. And equipment, some of it was blow-up equipment to resemble the real thing. Some of it was made out of plywood. It was to give the impression, if there was any German reconnaissance, that there was more troops available. It transpired that because of the UK and the Allied air superiority, there was a distinct lack of German reconnaissance ability. And that was actually something that didn't really get taken into account and didn't feed the Germans too much wrong information. But one of the things that played a great part were the double agents. There was a double agent called Garbo. I rather like this. He did his job so well, he was actually awarded by the Germans the Iron Cross. And he was awarded the MBE by the British. The British media were posting reports in newspapers and on the radio of weddings of soldiers who didn't exist. Football scores of matches that never took place. So the whole picture was created of a much, much bigger army. We're involved in a battle much greater than the one in the Second World War, and our enemy is far stronger than the Nazi Germans ever were. He is the father of lies, and he was a murderer from the beginning. Turn, please, to Matthew 24. And when my dad said Matthew 24, verse 5, I turned to my wife and said, I think my sermonette needs rewriting. Thankfully, he went off on a slightly different tack. Matthew 24, starting in verse 5. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Dropping down to verse 11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. It says very clearly there that we need to watch, for many will be deceived. Satan is the arch deceiver, doing everything he can so that we are looking in the wrong place. Just like Operation Fortitude had the Germans believing that the attack in Norway was going to be in Norway and Calais, and that the Normandy landing was just a diversionary attack. And then in verse 23, same chapter, Matthew 24, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, so as deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out, or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. I had never noticed verse 25 in the same context, but in this age, it said, you know, it's very clear. It says, see, I have told you beforehand. Who told us beforehand? It was the one who God called at this end time. It was Mr. Armstrong, who through God, through him, revealed to us what would be taking place. As Mr. Henderson was saying this morning, how did Mr. Armstrong know about United Europe? It wasn't from his own interpretations. It was from Christ. So who is Christ speaking to here? He is talking to us at the end of the age, where the warning is given, do not be deceived. Our tithes and our offerings mean that the words we were told beforehand by Mr. Armstrong, who was clearly led and used by God, would be available to teach us at this end time all the things that we need to know in this shattered age. As Mr. Bowles has clearly shown in the booklet, Just What is an Apostle?, Mr. Armstrong was sent by God as our end time apostle. Going back to D-Day, the night before D-Day took place, Garbo, the British double agent, was allowed by the British to contact his German handlers and tell them that the Normandy attack was coming. He was actually allowed to forewarn the Germans that D-Day was happening. It transpired that the German handlers weren't listening. During the D-Day landings, when the Germans saw what was happening and that there was an attack force coming along the Normandy front, they started to move two panzer divisions from Calais to Normandy to start a counterattack. Garbo again contacted his handlers, furious that they had missed the previous night's communication regarding Normandy and the attack. But he told them, don't move your troops. That is a diversion. The attack in Calais is coming within the next 24 hours. That resulted in those two panzer divisions doing a U-turn. And the other divisions of troops that were stationed at Calais, who had started to pack up to redeploy, never did. They remained in Calais. The German generals on the ground were in confusion. God's people have also heard this sort of deception. When they start to get back on track, they hear the arguments. Mr. Armstrong was going to change the, insert your own words here, calendar, makeup, birthdays, doctrine on healing. Was Mr. Armstrong even the end time Elijah, as Mr. Henderson mentioned this morning? And some of those who hear that are deceived, heading back in the wrong direction, like the German panzer divisions, sincerely believing that they are hearing God's words. But those teaching these lies are unwittingly being used as double agents. God's word is not for private interpretation. In addition to the double agent feeding wrong information to the Germans, because the British and American bombers had pounded the defences along the front, a number of the German radar points had been obliterated. And it was not until 2 a.m. 2 hours after the paratroopers had started landing did the Germans actually realise what was going on. On the COGIW website and the Get Back on Track websites, there are which are there to support God's people, to help us to see the real information and to be able to perceive the real war that is underway, to help us to get close to God so that we can prepare ourselves to put on the armour that God has provided for us so that we can be defended from Satan's attacks. And I'll just read the what Mr. Bowles has actually put on the Get Back on Track website. This website is a research site for God's people. It is designed to help each individual member get back on track in the way God had previously shown. The site therefore tries to bring together all teachings given through Mr. Herbert Armstrong between the years of 1978 and 85, when a similar process was taking place within the church. This includes written material produced prior to these dates, yet still in print during these years. One problem found at that time was an attitude of let the people decide, rather than a ready acceptance of what God revealed. Let the people decide is the very meaning of the word Laodicea, and the identical attitude can be found extensively today within the corporate churches. This vital teaching, therefore, found within the 1978 to 85 material is probably even more applicable now than when it was first given. If we are too far from the trunk of the tree, there are an awful lot of leaves getting in the way of the view of where the tree trunk is. The website provides us with resources to get back on track, to understand God's word through the teachings of God's end times apostle, so that we can see through Satan's deceptions. I asked Phil to give me, Phil Henderson to give me some information on some statistics on the website. And in numerical ascending order, there are 7 books on the 2 websites. This is combined across the 2 websites. 7 books. 28 books have been translated into either Dutch or Danish. There are 43 booklets, 48 worldwide newses, 79 pastor general reports, 83 plain truths, 83 good newses, 135 co-worker letters, 368 transcripts, 1,898 audio files, 47,377 news items, which results in a total of 3,333,219 words which are indexed and searchable. Don't play around with odd numbers. You know, exact figures. Thank you, Phil. Plus, the Fellowship Forum, which has only been going for a few months, has now just had over 8,500 comments made and just under 700 individual discussions and conversations. Over the last 5 months, the servers have served just under 300 gigabytes of content in audio and transcripts. For reference, that's equivalent to about 28,000 hours of audio. Technology is being used and has moved on so much in the last few years. And on a sideline, sorry, Mr. Henderson, you took the photos of the education, you then drove back to the campus, you spent 3 hours processing and 6 days to get into print. At the Olympic Games, the photographers, who use the same camera as me, actually plugged the internet cables directly into the camera, uploaded them, they were edited and published on the web within 15 minutes. Sorry, that did make me chuckle this morning, but very thankful that we have digital. If you could turn, please, to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, and starting in verse 3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. And dropping down to verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Just dropping down to verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. And verse 13. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There has never been such a facility or abundance of God's word available to the members of the church at the touch of a fingertip. to be able to search 3.5 million words of Mr. Armstrong's writings, the booklets, all of the co-worker letters and everything is an amazing tool for us. And it's all paid for by our tithes and our offerings. Please turn back to Deuteronomy 16. This is one deception that was tried. The law is done away with. The holy days don't no longer need to keep them. That is a deception that through God's word we have been able to see through. Thankfully, because of the spirit that we have been given. Deuteronomy 16, starting in verse 16. 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given to you. It is only with God's Holy Spirit in us and working with us that we can understand God's word and see his plan and see how Satan is trying to deceive us and what is going on around us. Humanly, by ourselves, we are like the Germans in World War II, at ground level, receiving information, some of it true, some of it untrue, without the radar to be able to see what is happening above, without having the aerial reconnaissance to be able to see if the troops are massing in the British Isles or whether it is just a ploy. Thankfully, we are able to get close to God, to use his standpoints, not ours, to look down on actually what is happening and to see through the deception which Satan is so good at creating. God is above all, looking down on what is going on, and nothing is hidden from him. Had the Germans had the aerial reconnaissance ability in place at the beginning of 1944 to see if this information was true or not, then the whole of D-Day may very well have been a totally different story. It is our tithes and our offerings which are used to provide the essential supply of God's word in this end time famine of truth. Let's get back on track and drink in the word and the spirit of God that we have so fortunately been blessed with at this end time, so that we too are not deceived. And we'll be taking up an offering now, and it will be Psalm 5. Give ear unto my prayer, O Lord. It will be sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson and accompanied on the piano by Estelle Monroe.